It's the Multipod episode number 8. In this episode, we are talking about our podcasting journey and podcasting as it relates to multi-potentialites, with a particular milestone because this marks our 8th episode, which is generally considered to be the breakthrough moment when an average podcast gets past that stage where they may fade away. If you're familiar with podcasting, that's called pod fading. And so we are pleased to have passed that first milestone here with our show as we record episode number 8. And having started the Multipod here back at just the beginning of January this year, 2018. So it's our first little milestone. And we thought, that would make a great topic this time around to chat about podcasting in general and some of our own experiences with it, how it relates to the show and how it relates to multi-potentialites, of course. So my name's Ted, as your host, and with me is Sarah, joining me in the middle of the night from Spain.
Hi.
And we're very pleased to have our guest. We'll introduce in a couple minutes, Vanessa, who is the new chief of our podcasting group. We have a dedicated group of podcasting aficionados within the Putty tribe. And Vanessa basically takes the lead in kind of coordinating our discussions and bringing up interesting points and so on. So we'll chat to her about that. And of course, she's a podcaster as well. And we'll find out some of the things that she's into and been doing for the last few years with her podcasting journey. But for starters, we had an interesting couple weeks, I guess. Our last episode 2 weeks ago was profiling the Puttython, our live coverage of the big Puttython event, when everyone was getting together within the Putty tribe, lots of people at least, and, you know, pushing themselves to get some projects done and group accountability and stuff like that. What was really interesting afterwards was that Emily Wapnick, the founder of the group, she sends out a newsletter every week, every Wednesday, and she wrote to me after the episode and said, can I put a link to the episode in my newsletter? And I said, sure, of course, go for it. And when she did, wow, our downloads really spiked. So, I mean, you know, we're not really doing this yet to reach out to a big, wide audience. I mean, I think we'd like to get to that point eventually, but we're just kind of pacing ourselves and going a step at a time here. So we hadn't really advertised a show, and, you know, we're very content. We're very fortunate, as we always say, to have an existing audience within our group and maybe some friends and family and so on who listen to our show, which is great. But, you know, we're not going far from that to try to reach out and find a bigger audience. So we're used to getting maybe about 80 to 100 downloads or so per episode kind of thing. So when Emily put this out, then in 24 hours, we had like 150 downloads right away. So in the context of our show, that was a pretty big deal. And it really makes you see kind of the reach of podcasting and people that are curious about it and curious about multipotentiality and how it relates, of course, to this show. So that was kind of an interesting moment for us just in the past week or so, again, relating to our podcasting journey. That's kind of set us up here again for this episode as we get into talking about what brought us into podcasting and maybe a bit about where we're going from here. So Sarah joined the show, what was it, 4 episodes in? Not right at the very beginning, but it feels like you've been here for a while now. And of course, it's always great to have you with us. And from a different time zone, it's always a challenge to play with how we juggle all of our schedules and so on, because, you know, there's Sandrine and myself who are in Eastern Canada, and Sarah's 6 hours ahead in Spain. So she's in the middle of the night right now. But, you know, we appreciate, of course, her effort in being part of this. And so, as I say, yeah, you joined the show about 3 or 4 episodes in. And what's your experience been like so far? Do you feel you've been learning a lot and picking up new skills, confidence, things like that?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I mean, it's basically like an opportunity to have like an interesting conversation about like different topics. And that's something that I really enjoy, being able to have a voice. It's also a challenge because English is not my first language. So sometimes I struggle a little bit to kind of try to make my point through. But, you know, at the end, I think podcasting is a radio program. The only thing is that you have the ability to listen to it at any point or whenever you are available. And that makes it very flexible. And that, I think that's the beauty of it, that you can also listen to it while you are doing something else. and it's really enriching. And getting to know kind of all the ingredients that the Needs podcast to make it happen is interesting. It's more intricate than I first thought, actually. Like, you know, where you have to host the audios, and that you have, it's like an external website, and then all the equipment, and not only hardware or software.
Had you done any research on that, or kind of learning about it before you joined our show? You know, there's so many podcasts out there about podcasting and courses and videos and stuff. Had you read any of that stuff going into it?
I subscribed to this, can't remember, Colin Gray.
Colin Gray, yeah. He's from Scotland. Podcrafting, I think. Is that him? Something like that.
But I haven't yet dive into all the intricacies of all the emails he sends out about recordings and what to say. And he basically like kind of covers the whole thing.
Yeah. You've talked a little bit about your own podcasting goals. Can you refresh us a bit on what your plans are and how it's going so far?
Well, I was thinking about podcasting for my own research project about creativity and vacation. But I'm still thinking about what the format is going to be, because at the end, it's going to be an artistic project. So I don't want the form to be very classic. So I'm thinking about different options. There is a lot of personality in everybody's voices. And each podcast, it's different because of the person that you talk with.
Yeah, that's just it. And that's, you know, and I have other ideas too for shows and so on that I like to do. And so, you know, I kind of keep chipping away on that and some ideas and brainstorming. But I love that we have this show, and that in the meantime, we still have the way to practice and have a regular schedule and learn all the tech side and you know, improve our skills interviewing behind the microphone and all that stuff. It's such a wonderful opportunity.
Mm-hmm, definitely. See, something that it kind of triggers me. Like you mentioned several times that for you, the challenge of podcasting is looking for content. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that could be like a really tricky thing, because you always have to do a little bit research to kind of like come together with some interesting content. But also for me is the way you communicate, the way you pronunciate things, mm-hmm. and how you make yourself really understandable. And there is like a degree for that. Like people actually, like, in order to have a degree and a career in TV or radio, they really take lessons of how do they speak, mm-hmm. and how do they transmit their knowledge. And for me, that's a very tricky thing.
It is a challenge, and to do it well, I aspire to do that myself. And I mean, I suppose I could take a whole bunch of courses and stuff. But I think it's one of those things where you learn by doing, and just keep practicing and knowing what to focus on, and those little skills, and just putting in the time. So that sounds like a good segue to get some insight from our guest. So Vanessa Reich Shackelford is our guest today, another fellow Canadian. She is in Vancouver. She is the host of two podcasts. She'll give us the details about that. I know one is about X-Files, and she has another one as well she'll tell us about. She is someone who has some experience with all the stuff that goes into it, you know, the planning and trying to build your audience, and of course the tech side and developing your content and your skills behind the microphone, so she can give us lots of insight onto that. Vanessa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I should say too that Vanessa is fairly new to the Putty Tribe group and recently took over as the lead as our podcasting group there. And I asked her if she'd like to kind of contribute a little bit behind the scenes to our show. I like the idea that we'd have something of a coach or somebody who can kind of give us some pointers in a constructive way. It's something that, you know, will go on over time, but she's kind of there in the background. She hasn't been on the show yet, of course, but she's been there in the background giving us a bit of pointers and stuff. And so it's great to have her as part of our group here as well.
Thank you so much. That's really nice to hear. To be honest, I've been swamped lately and I haven't listened to the last couple episodes. I've been kind of trying to catch up to the, like, in the podcast. But like, I have even noticed just a difference between like episode one to episode, I don't know, 3, 4.
That's good.
It's been awesome. I love the podcast. I think it's just like something that just multi-potentialism.
Oh, I learned that one.
Multi-potentiality.
Yeah, there we go. I learned that in the first episode.
Very nice. Yes.
Yeah. So that's something that not a lot of people are talking about. So I think it's really cool that there's this podcast
to talk about people like us who have so many interests, and like, how do you put them all together, or do you put them all together, and how do you go through every day with all this stuff in your head? So it's very cool.
Before we get into a bit of your story, let me ask you a real pointed question then based on that. So sure. I have to struggle a bit with this. Should our show focus really on how everything, whatever the topic is each time, but how that applies to multi-potentialites, and we really focus on that? Or should we just choose a topic, in this case podcasting, and all of us are multi-potentialites, inherently we're going to share that perspective, and so it just kind of comes out organically? Or do we really have to get into describing what makes it different or how it applies to multi-potentialites? Sometimes I want to do both, but I never really know what to focus on. What do you think the listeners would be looking for?
I think that there's a way to do both. I think that with podcasting, yes, you do plan things, which is fine. But then there has to be a little bit of room for improvisation and for things to come up naturally and organically. And so, which is one of the tricky things about podcasting, because some people really plan out their podcasts and then I listen to them and I'm like, well, they're kind of stiff.
Yeah.
It also depends on what they're talking about. But I think there's a way to do both. I'm not sure what the magic bullet is to do both, but I think that this podcast is actually succeeding in that really well. And I think it makes sense to have like a theme or a topic and then kind of let the multi-potentiality come through that topic without being like, okay, we're going to talk about point A, podcasting, point B. Now, how does this help a multi-potentialite? I think that it's more interesting if it just comes up in the conversation.
Yeah, and that's been our instinct to do that. Kind of, it's like we can't help doing it that way. And I could take this episode, for instance, we could just have an interesting conversation about podcasting and our experiences and so on. And then you get like half an hour in and say, wait a second, have we talked about multi-potentialites yet?
right.
And maybe we will. Again, it could be just organic that it comes out that way. But if we don't specifically talk about it, I hope the audience resonates in the sense, as I say, that we are all multi-potentialites and we're going to bring that perspective on it anyway, in terms of, you know, different projects and trying to juggle things and putting all those interests together is what we do.
I think that just being aware of that goal is a really big step in the right direction. And just if you're having a conversation with somebody, a guest or your co-host, and you are kind of like, well, that's interesting, this really fits into multi-potentiality in this way, then bring that up. You know, I don't think it has to be something that's super scripted, but I think it's something to keep in the back of your mind to always just remember that that's kind of the ultimate goal of the podcast, right? Sorry, Sarah.
No, absolutely. I mean, I was thinking, you know, podcast itself, it feels like the perfect medium for multi-potentiality peep, because it allows you to make multiple things while you're listening to it. So it feels like a very great source of knowledge while you can do and still do other things.
And that applies to having more than one show. So tell us a bit about your experience with that. Is it a good idea to have more than one podcast at the same time?
Okay, well, you wanted me to tell a little bit about the two podcasts that I do, so maybe sure. I should start with that, just so that people know the context I'm coming from, I guess. So I co-host a podcast about The X-Files, like you said, and that's something that a friend of mine and I do, and it's pretty casual, but we've been around for 3 years. I think April like 17th or something. I don't know when this episode is coming out, but April 17th will be like our third birthday, which is really pretty fun. And so we basically just, you know, watch an X-Files episode and then talk about it, and, you know, talk about our thoughts. And then the other podcast is one that I actually do at my job, which is I work for a nonprofit that tries to, shall we say, elevate women and other underrepresented groups in STEM fields. And STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, mathematics. So the podcast is an interview-based podcast where I actually don't really host it. I'm more the producer, but I have hosted a couple episodes. Mm-hmm. And so the host, who is usually my supervisor at work, interviews women who are working in STEM fields as to show them as role models and to hear how they kind of navigate their lives as women in STEM who are these days, you know, pretty underrepresented in STEM. So those are the two podcasts. And the reason that I, you know, got involved in the second podcast was kind of almost by accident, maybe not totally by accident, because when I applied for my job, I think my supervisor, when she did the interview with me, had it in the back of her mind that she wanted to start a podcast for our program. And she knew that I had a lot of experience podcasting. Mm. But it wasn't something that actually came up in my interview and only came up, you know, a little bit later when I already had started working there. Mm. And so, you know, of course she said it, she said, we want to do a podcast. And I was like, absolutely. I want to be involved. So it's kind of the best case scenario for having two podcasts, because one of my podcasts is a hobby podcast that I do in my own time with my friend. And the other podcast is something that I'm getting paid to do at my full-time job. and that's really cool. I mean, I'm really like grateful that I have that opportunity. I think that people who are just getting into podcasting don't realize how much time it takes. It takes a lot of time out of your life, depending on what kind of podcast you're doing. But for our X-Files podcast, it's like we have to watch, you know, a 40-minute episode of a TV show. And then we talk about it for at least an hour. And then when we edit it, it usually is a little bit less than an hour, depending on how much we talk about the episode. And then you also, for us, we like to do some background research. We like to look into just various things about that particular episode or the X-Files in general. And to be honest, sometimes we go on tangents. So it's like having a very part-time job on top of your job. So I don't always recommend having more than one podcast, but by all means, if you like can't stop podcasting like me, then I mean, just recognize the time that it's going to take, but go for it. I'm not going to tell you not to do it. I love podcasting.
How frequent are your two shows?
So the X-Files one is every week, but we do take release breaks in between. So we'll take like a week or two from releasing or recording just to give ourselves a break. And the one at my full-time job is at least twice a month, because sometimes things come up and we don't, you know, like we need a little bit of wiggle room there. But it's usually every 2 weeks that we release.
I have a question. Like, why did you jump into podcasting in the first place?
Okay, that's a whole story. well, it's not that long of a story, but my friend, who is actually now my partner, we are sort of in a social circle, and together, that's how, you know, we met in this social circle. And she and another friend of ours was like, we want to start a podcast. And our other friend was like, I want to do it on the X-Files. It's my favorite show. And they were looking for people to be guests. And I was like, I want to do it. I love the X-Files. And I had just discovered podcasting. So I was like, sure, let's try it. And so I was on for, I think, 2 episodes as a guest. And then they both asked me if I wanted to be a third co-host. And so I was like, yeah, like it was just so much fun. And I just had like enjoyed doing it so much that I just, yeah, I didn't even think about it. I was like, yes, I do. I want to join.
What did you enjoy the most about it?
In terms of podcasting in general, I really like that it is a usually free medium where people can hear, you know, interesting opinions on all sorts of subjects, and that you can basically have a podcast on almost anything. And I think that's really cool. What I loved about podcasting with my, you know, friends was I have always really loved like critiquing media. So critiquing TV shows and that kind of thing, but I never really had an outlet to do it in. And I hadn't started a blog or anything. I know that they exist out there, but I just had never done anything like that. So getting together with friends and just, you know, sort of gushing a bit over the show that we love, but also being critical of it was really cool. And being able to do it with friends was really cool. So that's kind of, I think, what got me hooked, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was about 3 years ago. What kind of journey has it been? Have you seen your audience grow or change? Do you interact with your audience?
So I wear a few hats for the podcast, and I'm not really sure how that happened. I think I have ideas, and then I just am like, I'm going to make them happen. So I started our Instagram account, and they had already set up a Twitter and Facebook account, and I kind of just like took over the social media because nobody else really wanted to do it. And I found that engaging with our listeners through social media has helped so much in our download numbers. It was not something that happened overnight. We've had to work on it for a while and, you know, really be like consistent with it. But we have people on Twitter who follow us. Twitter is probably our biggest platform. And we have people who follow us who aren't even listening to the podcast. And that's totally fine because we share things that are X-Files related and they want to see X-Files stuff. But I really got excited when we started seeing that people who are listening were reaching out to us on social media and being like, we love your show, saying whatever they wanted to about the show or about the episodes we were covering or whatever. And I was like, wow, like how cool is it that if you have the time and the space, you can have like a podcast where you talk at people. And then there's this other thing where they can engage with you back. That's just really cool. So that definitely helped, I think. And our audience has grown a lot. It's taken 3 years for it to get to where it is now. But I mean, we have almost 200,000 downloads total. Hmm. So yeah, it's grown.
Wow.
I think it's really interesting how the internet has helped, you know, with all these things like YouTube, podcasting, to make people empathize with small groups and to feel mm-hmm. that they are connected and part of something.
Yeah, and I found that as much as I love podcasts that are made by really big, you know, companies or organizations such as, I don't know, Nerdist or NPR, CBC, I love podcasts from those groups, but I really love getting involved in podcast communities. I'm involved in one right now called Lady Pod Squad, and it's basically a whole bunch of women podcasters or people who identify as women. And it's just been this great network of like, let's share each other's posts on Twitter and, you know, give each other promos and play each other's promos on our podcasts. And that's been really exciting to me because I just, like you said, love being in this, this community of people that like gets it, you know? And I think that, yes, obviously you can listen to big podcasts. Like, I don't know why I keep thinking of Nerdist today, but I keep thinking of Nerdist, and they're a really big podcast and it's really fun to listen to them. But sometimes when you listen to podcasts that are more independent, you feel like they're really like talking with you and you kind of almost feel like they've become your friends in a weird way. Yeah, and that's something I absolutely love.
Because it's such an intimate medium, you know, with somebody right in your ears, and the fact that you can reach out and talk to them, you know, and have the interaction. Do you ever have guests on your show?
Yeah, I love having guests on, and just because it's nice to have a different perspective from, you know, just me and my co-host. It's nice to have other people come in and share their thoughts and their views and their humor. And and it's a cool way to get people involved. Like, we've actually become friends with a couple people who were listeners and now are, you know, friends of ours. And we've even had them on as guests. So, yeah.
So here we are like 3 months into our show and you're over 3 years. Has there ever been moments when you struggled to keep it going?
Yeah, I think one thing that really helps is having the fact that we're covering a TV show that had now 11 seasons and 2 movies. I think that helps a lot. But it's kind of funny. Like, we haven't talked about stopping. Like, I think either we're just really, like, we just really want to complete it to say we did or something, or it's just that we really love doing it. I think it's a little bit of both. It hasn't come up yet that we have said, yeah, we need to step back or step down or anything like that, which is great. I think it's definitely a thing that happens in podcasting. where people kind of lose momentum. And I think that with anything, as with anything, you kind of just have to remember why you're doing it and just remind yourself and remind each other that, you know, why you love podcasting or you love the theme that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Our challenge, I would say our biggest challenge in this show is the scheduling, as we talked a bit about earlier, but the fact that there's usually three of us plus a guest and sometimes more people in different time zones and could be all around the world. And it can take us days to find the right time for us to all get together. So have you? What kind of challenges have you faced in keeping your show going?
And when you talk about scheduling, that's definitely a thing. We, you know, well, my co-host is a teacher. And so, you know, report card time comes and she's like, I'm so stressed right now. And there's been a couple times where she has actually not been on an episode because she's just so busy. And so we'll have a guest come on with me and I'm totally good with that. Everybody seems to be good with that. I think that having those options, you know, having guest options for when somebody can't make it or whatever is a really good, nice thing to have. And yeah, also things like, you know, one of us is going on vacation. So we have to, you know, if we want to keep our release schedule going, we have to maybe record a couple more podcast episodes within a certain amount of time in order, within a certain amount of time to have that all, you know, work. And that can get kind of stressful, but I don't know. We just kind of get it done, honestly. And yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can speak much to other types of struggles. For example, you know, co-hosts maybe not agreeing on things. We actually communicate pretty well, I think, and we agree on things a lot. And you know, I know that I like to kind of take things over sometimes. So I try to really be like, hey, Carolyn, what do you think about this? And usually she either tells me, eh, I don't really know, or she's like, yeah, go with it, whatever. Like it just works. I don't know.
Well, let's talk a bit about some of our inspirations. Vanessa, were you listening to podcasts a lot before you started your show?
Actually, I hadn't listened to that many before I started, but I was listening a lot to one called Gilmore Guys, which is these two guys that would talk about the Gilmore Girls, the TV show. And I loved their podcast. I got really into it and it got me to, you know, listen to other podcasts. And now I have like an insane subscription list on my podcast app. Like I can't keep up. I listen to the things that are that look interesting, and I leave the things that don't. But I have so many podcasts that I'm into right now. It's kind of ridiculous.
That's definitely a thing.
Yeah. And that's like one of the multi-potentialite things for me is like, oh, yep. So many interests, so many podcasts, so many books, so many whatevers, TV shows.
I know.
Yep.
Do you make a point of listening as often as you can?
Well, yeah, I really, like I was talking about the Lady Pod Squad group earlier, and I really like to support the people who are in that group because they're all independent podcasters and, you know, they all need, you know, downloads. And I have become friends with people in that group too, and I just really like to listen to them. So I kind of try to make it a point to listen to a few of those per week. And then there's other podcasts that I, you know, are not part of that group that I also like to listen to, but it just depends on how much time I have.
True. Where do you usually listen?
You mean the app?
Well, like on the way to work or in the bus.
Oh,
or
sorry.
Parking or...
Yeah. Definitely when I'm commuting to work on the bus. Sometimes if I'm exercising, depends. Sometimes I want something that's like upbeat and music, but sometimes I'll listen to podcasts. And, on car trips that are a little bit longer than, you know, just a few minutes, like if I have to go kind of across town or something, I'll plug my phone into the car, which is really great. And there was one more thing that I was thinking, now I forget what it was. Oh, well. Oh, when I'm vacuuming.
Oh, yeah.
I just put my headphones in and then I put my phone in my back pocket and then I listen to podcasts while I vacuum because I hate vacuuming. So it makes the time go by a little faster, I think.
What about you, Ted?
Yeah, what about you?
What are my interests?
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of, I guess you'd say, nonfiction, business related. You'll find a theme here: monetization, podcasting as a medium to build a business, and podcasting for, the sake of podcasting itself. Like, half of my subscriptions are podcasts about podcasts. Because
Sounds good.
That's just it. And from day one, I was always interested in the medium itself. You never mind what people were actually saying in their particular show, but I was just it, the whole intimacy, as they say, and the whole approach that you can control the message so much was really appealing. And we were talking a bit about independent podcasters and so on, and I really hope that that keeps going with podcasting, as it continues to grow. Everybody says, well, each year is bigger than the year before and the whole thing is growing,
Right.
which is great. But, if big companies, corporations, media syndicates and so on are getting into it, you can see kind of where it could evolve to a point where, in whatever way, it becomes too expensive, the barriers are too big, or probably that you'd just be someone getting started, or the independent, your classic independent with a $180 microphone and a basic setup, would just get lost in the sea, right? They'd never get noticed, in theory, because they wouldn't have the resources to then promote their show. So some of it comes down to social media and stuff like that. But I mean, there's something like, what, 300,000 podcasts out there. I'm sure a lot of which aren't particularly active, but if that number's only going to grow, then I'd hate to see that independent spirit that anyone can start it up. I really hope it sticks to that initial beginning where it's the kind of two people on their couch, right, with the microphone recording what's on their mind. I'm glad that it's evolved to something a little more sophisticated than that, but I still love the spirit of that. So I like to listen to, therefore, to podcasts that are from that kind of background, people that started basically amateurs and kind of figuring it out. And maybe they're a couple, and you're a good example, of course, like a couple, 3 years in, and you've become good at it and you've developed the skills and basically professional, whether you make money or from it or not. But you have those kinds of skills and you know how to create and develop content and present it. So that's an aspiration for me, and I look to shows that do that as well.
That's awesome. Actually, I'm sure you have some suggestions for me because I want to listen to more podcasts that talk about using podcasting to build a business. And the reason is because I'm actually starting a business to help business owners start podcasts as part of their marketing strategies. So that's something I'm super, super interested in. And I agree, though. I mean, there's something to be said for using podcasting as a free advertising thing for your business, but I also feel a little threatened by. It's kind of like any industry. There's always going to be, the bigger entity that is going to swoop in and potentially squash the little guys. And I don't like that. But I think that, podcasting is different than radio. With radio, you have to have a whole, setup. You have to have, I don't know, antennas. I don't know what you need to have for radio. For podcasting, you need to have hosting, a microphone, a computer, and the internet. I don't know if I said that already. It's definitely more accessible if you want to start on your own. And then, yeah, you do have to put sort of some elbow grease, so to speak, into promoting yourself. But there are ways to do it. Just takes time.
And it comes down to your niche, right? If you can target a niche and build up a solid audience, then you don't, that's the whole niching down thing where you really zoom in on your topic and get as specific as possible. And, you get the people that are tuning in every week or whatever, how often it is, to listen to that.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we haven't heard from Sarah yet. So what kind of shows do you listen to? And my first question is, would they be more in Spanish or more in English?
That's a good question.
So there's something interesting there. I used to listen to my podcast when I was living in the US because I have a routine, and I don't know, it feels like because of the smartphones and all the data you have with your contracts, it's like limitless. So you can like listen to stream all the podcasts as possible, and it will never end. But here, first of all, most of the cars are not don't have the possibility to plug a phone. And also, like, I have a contract that I only have, I don't know, 1 gigabyte data. So I have to be very specific if I want to listen to something. And the type of podcasts that I like to listen are the ones that help me to think about life or meditation. There is one that I'm really hooked up. It's by Krista Tippett, and it's called Ongoing. And she always interviews these really interesting people that, like writers or philosophers or academics, that kind of talk about humanity and what it means to be human. And I mean, that's the kind of themes that I'm really intrigued about. And it's nice because it's, at the end, it's a conversation. And that's a little bit the essence of podcasting, the conversations, right? And the knowledge that you get through it. And something I really like is, we mentioned it before on our site, how do you say, outside the recordings, but how kind of when you listen to something, you start imagining how the people look like. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of, it adds like a little bit of, I don't know how to call it.
Mystery.
Mystery. Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
Yeah, I mean, unless you make the point of looking for their face, if they have it out there somewhere, then you'd never know.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's also a video podcast. Like, mm-hmm. if you go to the app for Apple to subscribe to podcasts, and I don't really do them. Like, I've tried, but in some way, I just can't.
Well, the whole point is that it has to be audio on demand, and more
portable, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Portable. We expect to listen to podcasts while you're driving, you're walking, you're working out, you're cooking, and all the rest. Have you ever come across podcasts that are enhanced? iTunes does this sometimes, where the producer can add images to the file and it pops up on your phone. There's a couple travel shows I know that are like this, the Amateur Travelers one. And as you listen to the show, they're talking about a destination. There's all these pictures that pop up on the screen. But I never look at the pictures. I'm busy driving or doing something, right? So exactly. It's great. It sounds like a great idea, but it's never going to work with podcasting because you're there for the audio and you want to be immersed. Like, not when you're driving, but you close your eyes and you want to listen to the audio, right? And focus on what's being said. So it really is all part of the experience.
It's also, it feels like a meditation experience. Like when I was in the US, like I would try to listen to a podcast every morning to kind of like set the mood for the day and have like an interesting line of thinking to kind of like take with me during the day.
I like that idea. I think also with video podcasts, like I've struggled for a while trying to figure out what the difference is between a video podcast and like a vlog, like a video log, which is like a blog but video. And I finally realized one day, oh, okay, so a vlog, I guess, is like, yeah, it's essentially a blog in video form. So it's probably one person talking about a certain theme. They might, put animations and sounds and whatever, but it's usually, I think, one person that's kind of doing it. And then I have seen video podcasts, like the ones that I have seen, I should say, are like more than one person, at least like two or more, who are in essence podcasting, but you can see them doing it. Or they might not be sitting, you know, with a podcast setup. It might look a little better than that and not just like, you know, wires and microphones everywhere. But essentially they're having a discussion about something on video. And I was like, okay, that's cool, I guess. But unless you have those images, the sounds, all the extra stuff, I don't really get it. I feel like it's fine, but I just don't really get it.
And multi-potentialites have enough to focus on anyway.
Exactly. Totally.
Sure.
Do you think this show reflects inherently multi-potentialites because we jump from topic to topic?
I don't think it's like jumping from topic to topic, like in a chaotic way. I don't think it's too much different than other podcasts where you have discussions and sometimes you tangent a little bit, but then you come back to your topic. And I don't know if I've heard another podcast where there are so many people involved in the audio actual recording and speaking. And I think it's really cool because you've figured out a way to do it that's not confusing, not all over the place. It's like, okay, we're going to go to this person now. Okay, we're going to go to this person now. And then they get their time. And it's awesome. I really like that. And it keeps it interesting. It's, I mean... I'm not going to say that like my co-host and I aren't interesting, but you know, we're just two people. And that's one reason we like to have guests come in, because it's like something new for a change, you know, something different. So I really like that aspect of this podcast, I have to say.
Yeah, that's been a real organic progression with this show. I mean, we wanted to have lots of people involved, and myself and Joel kind of got it going. But I mean, Sandrine and then Sarah jumped in right from the start, and we are hoping to have another part of our team. Toy is a member of the Putty group, and she's expressed some interest. So maybe we'll get her on the show within the next episode or two. So you'll start to hear some different voices, even more so, and that's all part of it. But you would think, and just thinking about it right now, I'm like, how the hell do we pull this off? Like, with all the organization and talking over each other and cueing each other and so on. And I mean, I feel like I'm ostensibly the host, just kind of keep things moving, but I don't want to hog the microphone either. So it's like, it's just really kind of plays out. I think we really have to work with each other, but we seem to do it pretty naturally.
I think the fact that you're using a video chat while recording really helps. We don't really do that when we have guests on, but I feel like maybe we should, because the times that I have done it with guests, it just helps when you, like, if somebody is going to start speaking, you can see it that they're like, I want to say something. So it definitely helps. And I think that probably is a big part of how that comes together.
Yeah, the first episode we didn't. And then we were like, what are we doing? We have no idea what's happening. Sandrine and I were like in the dark, we were blind. So I can't imagine doing it. And anybody, like, if you think about the podcasts you listen to, I'm assuming they have video on. How could you do it otherwise? It's so weird.
I think most podcasters I know definitely, even if there are two podcasters and they're recording on their own equipment like we are, they still have a video chat going so that they can see what's happening. Yeah, totally.
It's definitely helpful. There's a lot of communication happening, like non-visual, mm-hmm. and it definitely helps to try to make that came through the audio.
We celebrated last time the Putty Tribe itself with our Puttython, and this time we're kind of doing a little mini celebration, I guess, of our show. Not to pat ourselves on the back too much, but it is a milestone, and you know, it's all part of this journey. And I feel like we have as much momentum as ever, if not more so. The whole notion of pod fading, I can't really imagine. It's like we always look forward to doing the next episode. So it's been nice to chat about our experience in doing that and understanding this medium. I think we'll come back to it. I like the idea that, I don't know, maybe every once in a while, a couple times a year, we kind of assess the show itself, you know, and sure. See how it's going so far and what some of our experiences are and any other updates with podcasting, I suppose, in general. So that's a neat idea. But yeah, it's been a fun episode chatting about the episode.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. And I would definitely love to be on again if you'll have me.
Absolutely.
Cool. Thank you, Vanessa.
Yeah.
For being here. Vanessa's two podcasts are the Not Another X-Files podcast, and Best of the West. So the X-Files show can be found at notanotherxfpod.wordpress.com, also notanotherxfpod.libsyn.com, Libsyn spelled Libsyn. And social media for the X-Files show is also Not Another XF Pod, all one word. And then you can find the West show is spelled WWEST.ca/podcast. That's where you can find some information about that show. And certainly check out Vanessa's website, her personal site for her burgeoning podcast business. The address there, vanessavirtual.wordpress.com. So vanessavirtual.wordpress.com. And then you can see some of the services that she's starting to offer in advising and editing podcasters. Check it out. And we'll have all those links, of course, in our show notes. Sandrine is away this week, unfortunately, so we don't have a tip of the week for this episode. But hopefully you've gained some insight and knowledge with our discussion here on podcasting today, especially if that's something that you're interested in. I also need to catch up on some of the Putty Peep profiles of the week. We're about 4 weeks behind because of the last episode we did 2 weeks ago about the Puttython. We just wanted to focus on that and stay in the moment. So we've got four people here to profile, but I've been really trying to figure out a way to make this a little more engaging, a little more memorable, and fun as well. So here's what I've come up with. What I'm going to do is, for each person that's profiled, I'm going to read their name. We're going to talk about what they're currently into. This is the line that's been written on the Putty Tribe site there, so why they were profiled and something perhaps particularly pertinent. We'll talk about where they live, so to relate to their location and their environment, so where they are right now, the places they lived in the past, that helps to frame their journey. I like to give a shout out to people's personal websites, their blogs, or you know their professional website, a business perhaps. This is a chance to do that. And if anything else in particular that I might find interesting, and this is where I'm going to take the host prerogative, if something piques my interest that maybe I relate to or triggers a story in their profile, then I'll point something like that out. And then what I'm going to do is pull out one interesting quote or fact from their bio, and that should leave you wanting more. So let's start with the first person here. And she was just on the show. It was Vanessa. This is a bit of a coincidence because she was named the Putty Peep of the Week before we had this episode here planned out. But let's get into a little more depth of her profile. So Vanessa was profiled because, of course, her enthusiasm and diving in and taking charge of revitalizing our podcast discussion group within the tribe. And she, as you heard, she lives in Vancouver, BC, Canada. Now, places she's lived in Hingham, Massachusetts, Boulder, Colorado, Gold Hill, Colorado, Lakewood, Colorado, Arvada, Colorado, Golden, Colorado, Castle Rock, Colorado, okay, Sackville, New Brunswick, Munster, Germany, and she says kind of all over Germany, and now she's in Vancouver. Some personal sites, well, you heard about the sites related to her show there. I'll give again a reminder, her personal business site there, vanessavirtual.wordpress.com. And you can look her up on Twitter. The tag is vivi_mouse. So vivi_maus. Or on Instagram, Cambrielle, Cambrielle on Instagram. Vanessa lives in North Burnaby, which is technically a separate city just east of Vancouver itself, but really it's all kind of one big city. I lived in North Burnaby back in 2009 and 10 in basically the same neighborhood, about like a 20-minute walk from where she lives now. So it's a small world. And here's something interesting from her bio. She says she went to a Sudbury Valley-type school called Alpine Valley School for her high school years, a haven for multi-potentialites. So we'll have to ask her some more about that. Next, we have Mercedes Calcano. She is currently into the alchemy of art, soul-making, mindfulness, and co-leading some great Putty Tribe action, which I think we'll hear a lot more about over the coming weeks. Where she lives right now is Chicago, where she's lived in the past, Venezuela, Argentina, Mexico, Canada, England, Paris, and around the United States, Alabama, Oregon, Indiana, and now Chicago. She has a couple sites, three sites actually, that she draws attention to in her profile. There is Mercedes Calcano, CALCANO.com, SimplyDrawingLife.com, and TeachingForGreatness.com. And you can find her on Twitter at Merce Calcano, so MerceCalcano. That's her Twitter handle. Her profile has so many interesting things, and I'm going to read a quote here, a little snippet from it in a second, but she has tremendous number of interests here, and I resonate with her as a fellow musician, a fellow introvert, and I really take to her deeper insights when it comes to her art and her view towards being a creative person. So here's just a little snippet from her bio. She says, I sold everything I had and moved to another country, escaping communism with no money, connections, or jobs. She won a scholarship for a master's degree, graduated with honors. She says, my life in a box took me 7 years and landing in countries I didn't know anybody or have anything to work my way to where I am today. I'll leave it at that and leave you wanting more. Nick Drage is next. He is currently into American football, cybersecurity, productivity hacks, and just being super helpful. He lives in Northamptonshire in the UK, places he's lived in the past, Northamptonshire and London, so all in the same neck of the woods. A couple personal sites he mentions here. He's got a blog. It's called blog.sonofsunsu.org.uk. So S-O-N-O-F-S-U-N-T-Z-U, Son of Sun Tzu. He also mentions pathdependence.co.uk, and you can find him on Twitter. Son of Sun Tzu is his handle, so that's where it's tricky. S-O-N of S-U-N-T-Z-U. He's from Northamptonshire, so that reminds me of the time many years ago when I tried to get to Silverstone, the racetrack, which is in Northamptonshire, and it was late January, so the middle of winter. I made it as far as Milton Keynes and found that the taxi ride to go the rest of the way, which wasn't too far, it was like 20 minutes or 30 minutes maybe, but it was something like £60 return, so I was a poor backpacker at the time, and I settled for buying a Formula One book, so that was the extent of my Northamptonshire adventure, but it does remind me of that. And here's an interesting snippet from his bio. He says, I'm more amused than I should be by my profile picture as I smile more than it would imply, which is why I'm keeping it. And our fourth person is Mike B. He's currently into writing of all kinds, mentoring, mutant chronicles, and just being super helpful. He lives in New Zealand. Places he's lived, well, he says Essex. I'm assuming that's in the UK. I looked it up. I didn't see an Essex in New Zealand. I thought maybe there might be. But perhaps he means Essex in the UK, and otherwise he's lived in New Zealand. Links to a couple personal sites. Now, I really recommend you check this out. Go to imagineermike.com, Imagineer, I-M-A-G-I-N-E-E-R-M-I-K-E.com, and I think you'll be pretty impressed by what you find. Also, livethinkbreathe.co.nz. Now, here's the thing. He has a fairly succinct profile, I guess, so far on his profile on the tribe. So what I'm going to highlight here that's in particularly interesting is some of Mike's talents. He's an author, blogger, songwriter, screenwriter, script writer, comics, theater, TV. He's a producer of video and software, toy designer, game writer, cartoonist, mentor, future animator, and future event management student. Wow. Aside from the wealth of multidisciplinarianism, what jumps out for me? Well, I love meeting Kiwis. My wife and I traveled the whole country for 4 months over the summer of 2011-12 and lived near Teano in Fiordland on the South Island for some of that time. And I can see why he's such an artist. You know, New Zealand is the type of place that really inspires artists with the landscape, of course, and the culture there as well. So some of those links there are coming together. So that's Mike B. Well, there you have it. So four profiles this time around and a new format. That was fun. In a normal show, we would only have two at a time. So maybe I can add a few more people myself if we have time or dig into the Putty Tribe archives and see who we find there. Well, that was another fun episode and some food for thought. I think it's neat to kind of pause for a minute or a few and reflect on some of the things we've learned so far and some of our perspectives on this whole podcasting game. So, Sarah, would you say you're enjoying it so far?
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm reaching my goals here, and it's getting to know other multi-peeps. Mm-hmm. And getting to know like their experience, their perspective through different subjects. And that's been really enriching for sure.
Yep. We say it often, but we'll say it again that this show is open to anyone who wants to get involved from a major way to just coming on the show for a few minutes and giving us some comments. So you can always reach out to us and ask us some questions and come on if you like. And as mm-hmm. I say, it's true. It's a way to get to know the people in our group, the Putty Tribe, but to keep exploring this idea of multipotentiality and how it relates to some of these interesting topics. That's it. Like, we don't really plan out the show too much. I mean, we have kind of a general list of things we'd like to talk about as the weeks and months go by, and then we're fairly spontaneous and see what comes to mind. This one is a little different because we knew we had this milestone, right? And we wanted to talk about podcasting itself. But next week, next time, I don't know. I think we'll kind of see what we feel like as the time gets a bit closer.
Something that I don't think we talk about is where do we get our influences from, or inspirations for themes. And for sure is the forums, the thread that people seem to be interested in.
Yep.
And, you know, like you just made a call to action, but there could be another call to action about, you know, if you're interested in talking about something specific and it would be nice to hear about it and maybe to get to do something with whoever is interested.
Sure. I mean, for everyone listening, especially within the group, but, you know, if you are leading an event or a discussion on the forum and you'd like us to talk about it on the show, then for sure you can pitch it to us and you could come on if you like, or you could give us a couple comments and we can read them on the show. But as always, a way to get more people involved and hear some more insights. So one thing that comes to mind, I haven't read too much into this yet, but there's something about the green room in the Putty Tribe. This is a new concept, and I think the idea is that it gives people looking to do a bit of performing or kind of put some of their creative ideas and projects out there, giving them a space to do that, and a safe space, but a space where they can get a bit of feedback and kind of start to feel the response to it. So that sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm. A safe space to rehearse.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, stuff like that is always coming up in the group, and we keep our eyes out for what's new. And it's been another fun episode. So stay tuned, everyone, for next time. And we look forward to talking with you again.
Goodbye. See you soon.